You're listening to Morning Edition here on WVIA. I'm Roger Dupuy, and this is Sports Voices, and it is the morning of short hair, Bob.
The morning of short hair. We both got some haircuts this week, so
we did.
Going short for the summer.
Yes, so for those listening on radio, yeah, trust me, we are both rocking the high fade. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you?
Good, sir. So let's talk a little bit. We're going to go into high school sports. State lacrosse playoffs start next week, right?
They do. So we're wrapping up this week district softball and baseball, so that's being played right now. So as a Friday, because we tape Wednesday, I can't tell you who won.
I like
to predict it, but I'm not that. But we do know the Abbotites girls, lacrosse team, and the Scranton Prep boys team are headed to states, which start on Tuesday.
Okay.
So we'll recap. Abington Heights beat Crestwood last week 15-11 to win their second straight District 2 championship. That's in double A. And then they will move on to play a team to be determined next Tuesday at home. They're 20-1 this year.
Oh.
That's pretty good record.
Yeah,
and over the last couple of years, I think they've only lost three games under the direction of Becky Davis.
Okay.
She has led the team, and her daughter Morgan, who's now a sophomore, has led the team to some outstanding records. In fact, they made it to the state quarterfinals last year before they lost.
Okay.
Scranton Prep boys are 19-0 this year. They're ranked fourth in the state. Double A District 2 championships and one of the best lacrosse games we have ever seen.
Wow.
Last week, they beat Abington Heights boys 15-14.
Jeez.
Scranton Prep trailed 14-11 with 3 minutes left in the game, came back and won the game. That's their second District 2 double A championship in 4 years. And they'll move on next Tuesday to play the second seed from District 3. Again, TBD.
Okay, sir. So we'll look forward to more on that next
Absolutely.
Week. The Penguins, having quite a run, they are in the midst of the Eastern Finals as we sit down to broadcast this.
They made their first Eastern Finals since 2014, so 12 seasons since they made the Eastern Final. They will take on Toronto, who they've never met in the playoffs, which is a bit surprising.
Right.
But they split with the Marlies.
Yes.
The last two games they played in the regular season, both one-goal games.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing really well. In fact, you know, if they go to the Calder Cup, I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Springfield in Game 5 last Saturday, which I attended. And in hockey terms, this is a huge win.
Yeah.
8-1. It was 4-0 after the first period.
Right.
And you're like, what did I just witness? I don't know if you could play a more perfect game than they did in that game. And they're starting to get on a roll. They're a young team. Toronto's more experienced. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. So I had a chance to visit the Penguins before they started.
Okay.
Game 1 was on Wednesday.
Yes.
Game 2 is tonight, both at the Mohegan Arena at KC Plaza.
Okay.
But I talked to the coach, Kirk McDonald. I also talked to one of the players, Finn Harding, who happens to be from
Toronto.
Yes,
there we go. Let's hear from Finn Harding and Kirk McDonald.
Were you rooting for your hometown team a little bit?
Nah, you know, it's obviously a nice perk to go home and have family and friends and be able to see them and have them at the game. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got a job to do, so wasn't really thinking about it too much, but definitely a nice perk for sure. I grew up there all my life and, you know, played hockey throughout the minor system there and, had a blast and, it was good.
Yeah, like I think like every day is fun. Like I mean, anytime you get to come to the rink with shorts and a T-shirt on, to me, like that means it's been a really good season. You know, we're down to the final four out of the two major leagues in North America. There's 8 teams left out of 64. Mm-hmm. I think we've done a really good job. That being said, the harder it gets, in my opinion, this time of year, it should be more fun.
So, two Canadians talking to us.
I will leave it at that.
Okay.
A lot of Canadians on the team, both sides, of course.
Yes.
So, they'll play the first two games we said were at home.
Okay.
They'll get the next three on the road, then two after that, if necessary. Right. It is a 7-game series.
Okay.
So, if they make the Calder Cup, I was thinking, I didn't even look up the dates. It's like the end of June.
Yeah, right. It's insane.
Not you're going to be wearing bathing suits to the rink, not shorts.
Not shorts and flip-flops.
Good luck to the Penguins. This is a great ride.
Now, on a much sadder note, we're going to talk about Kyle Busch, the NASCAR driver who died.
Yeah, unexpectedly last week.
41 years old.
Just 41 years old.
Pneumonia that progressed into sepsis.
Yeah.
You know, what I was reading was that this doesn't happen to 41-year-olds.
It's a shock because he won a race. He ran a truck race the week before.
Right.
So he was running great, didn't feel well. And we won't go into all of that, but, you know, he ended up passing away unexpectedly, like on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's race season here in northeastern Pennsylvania. The Pocono 400, is coming up June 14th, which is Flag Day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a full weekend. You'll know there'll be all kind of remembrances and memories for Kyle Busch there. In fact, he won a bunch of races at Pocono, including in 2021. Mm-hmm. I've had numerous interviews with him. In fact, yeah, I interviewed him this February via Zoom for the Daytona 500. And he's always been very nice, cordial. You hear about Kyle Busch. Yeah. And I've run into Kyle Busch after a race, which he finished second or third a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was very short in his answers. So he was a competitor.
Yeah.
He was a great competitor. He leaves a wife and two kids behind. His son is going to be a racer as well.
Okay.
But again, we Pocono season. So we'll have a bunch of interviews coming up with some of the drivers.
Okay.
My first one was this week was Ty Gibbs, a 23-year-old. Mm-hmm. His grandfather is Joe Gibbs, Washington Redskins old coach.
Yes.
Who's owned a NASCAR team since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
He's winning some races. In fact, he raced in Kurt Busch's car. Kurt Busch is Kyle Busch's brother.
Okay.
And Kurt Busch is now not racing anymore. So he actually ran his car. So I asked him about Kyle Busch and, you know, and about being around him and what his thoughts were on Sunday, for the Coca-Cola 600, where they did a great celebration.
All right. Let's hear from Ty Gibbs.
Very, very sad and unfortunate deal, but glad we got to, do a tribute to Kyle. And I don't think, that tribute, it obviously means a lot, but everybody has their own way of, grieving and mourning on it too. So, it was just super sad. And, really thinking about their family.
What you mentioned learning from Kyle, you're around him. You obviously raced in Kurt's car when you first started. So what about the Busch family? Have you learned? Have they taught you about racing, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, our parents, or at least our parents, were pretty stern and hard. And, I think that's, being raised by the Wolves, I think, makes you really strong. And, I think share something in common with that, but yeah, very, very, just thinking about them, obviously, in these times is very sad.
All right, Bob, he seems like an earnest young man.
Oh, yeah, he's going to have a great career in NASCAR.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So the race is June 14th. We'll have more of that in the next few weeks.
All right. Folks, as always, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.